Brothers, want to improve your stroke skills? Yeah, you heard me right. Stroke skills. And we're not talking about swimming. Stay tuned as we help you improve your sexual fitness on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes. As always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Sexual fitness guru Montique Steffen is with us today, and I'm curious. What does a woman want when she says faster?
Point blank and period, when a woman says faster, she's asking for more friction against her walls. For the most part, women equate speed with heat. So during intimacy, when she says faster, she wants to feel more friction. She wants to have more stimulation against her walls. And rather than go faster, men should focus on applying more pressure through their member when they're penetrating.
How do you apply more pressure?
For the most part, just like you apply pressure to anything. So when you push against something, you basically leverage your weight, whether it's your hand, whether it's a fist, whether it's a kick, you're leveraging your weight, and you're pushing through that weight and that appendage. Well, your member is an appendage as well. Mm-hmm. So when you are stroking, you want to lean in and push your weight against your member, and that is how you would actually add friction, as friction is pressure plus movement.
Does that mean that you are basically, your groin is going to touch hers with, you're just putting your body weight behind it?
Hip strength.
Guess what to say, Queen?
I said hip strength.
Yes, yes, the queen hit it on the head. That's why it's so important for us to develop our hips. Men don't have hips. The only exercise we do in the gym for hips are deadlifts. And in reality, deadlifts actually make it harder to have hip functionality, hip motility. So it's difficult for us to do things like apply pressure through our hips, through our member. So it's hard for us to do strokes. It's hard for us to give her what she wants. This is why it's so important that we exercise that part of our body. But to answer your question, big bro, the way that you would apply pressure is that you would think about your member as being a fist or an arm, and you would think about the walls of her yoni, of her vaginal canal, being somewhat of a surface, and you want to think about how to push the length of yourself against that surface, not using the head of your member, but the shaft.
Mm.
Using the shaft of your member, how can you visualize pushing your shaft against her walls? Mm. That's how you add pressure. That's what you want to think about when you think about adding pressure to your member.
So it's almost like blowing up a balloon.
Exactly. In fact, that's how women's orgasms work. Women's orgasms work by us building friction. This is by moving with pressure. Her vaginal walls absorb that energy, and it absorbs that energy and it puts it into certain nodes. We call these nodes spots. So you hear about people talking about spots. Essentially, what they're talking about are places within a woman's vagina where energy builds. When that energy builds to a cataclysmic point, it is your responsibility as a guy to pick up on that and then use your stroke to then pop it. That explosion or implosion of that point is what actually triggers an orgasm.
Okay.
And what's the number one reason that men climax early?
The number one reason that men climax early is because they're virtually stroking with the most sensitive part of their body. It's the exact same way that it'd be difficult for a guy to be a great boxer if he was punching people with his face. Right? You punch somebody with the part of your body that deadens activity, your fist. You don't have a lot of nerves in your fist. Mm-hmm. You know, not much there. It's just bones and flesh, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about sex, we actually stimulate women. We stroke leading with the most sensitive part of our body. This is why we pick up a lot of extra stimulation, and it's hard for us to continue. This is why you have guys talking about, oh, it feels too good, or this other madness. The idea is the brother doesn't necessarily know how to think about which part of his cock is the part that has the least amount of sensors. That's the part that you're supposed to be stroking with. And you don't want to stroke with the head of your penis unless you want to orgasm.
Uh-huh. And that's the shaft.
The shaft is the part you want to stroke with, brother.
Okay. Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk, please follow us, and then via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating, and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super-duper co-host, Nancy.
Hi, Frank.
Nancy Goldring, the consummate generalist.
Indeed.
You got any other thing, any other interests, general interest going on
these
days? Any
other general interest?
Yes. What you up to?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just, a few months ago I started teaching yoga.
Uh-huh.
So I'm doing that, and I am still deeply engaged in my work around energy healing and
energy healing, yeah, yours or other people, or it goes all the same?
Oh, well, mine and other people, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think what else. Oh, I'm going to a workshop in Missouri.
You always go into a workshop
with the Open Building Institute, and I'm gonna build a house.
Really?
Yes, I'm gonna build a house 1 week. And if I do opt to stay for the second long weekend, I'm going to be building a greenhouse aquaponics structure. And I've been interested in these two things for like a seriously long time. And I'm going to get an opportunity to do both in the span of about 10 days.
The house building, is that on a specific site, or they building a house at a factory and then they ship it?
No, they're going to build it. You know what? Well, I'm under the impression it's an eco-sustainable, green-type place. And mm-hmm. I'm expecting that it'll be a little bigger than a tiny house. Because mm-hmm. That's the other thing I'm really interested in. I'm really interested in this whole tiny house phenomenon. Mm-hmm.
Do you watch the show?
I've seen the show. Mm-hmm. I don't watch it, like, every time. Mm-hmm. But, yes, I've seen it, and I noticed that there are a couple of tiny house hotel type situations in different parts of the country, so mm-hmm. I think I'd like to check that out and see where this whole fascination is going.
And that's why you're not going to be with us 1 week?
That's why I'm not going to be with you for 2 weeks.
Really?
No.
But our guests may never know, because we just may record at a different time.
And you never tell them when I'm not here. You don't explain. You know, I just want to say to the guests, sometimes I get to go someplace. Does he say, we don't have Nancy, we miss her? No, he doesn't. He proceeds as if I do not exist. But that is not a complaint.
You know.
That is an observation.
I can't remember you ever not being here.
Oh, I think I only missed like one show. So,
okay.
You know, but...
All right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I introduced you. I checked in to see what's up with you. All right. Today's guest has unique dual benefit workouts that help some of the most insecure and unfit men become confident and desirable. As a creator of the Zenity fitness concept, he's taken his passion for optimal communication, fitness, and intimacy training, and combine them into a really unique set of products created to help couples rekindle and maintain love and affection. So, if you, like me, want to know how to reframe how we think about sexual positions, why sex is an internal massage, and why our bodies are instruments of pleasure and healing, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with trainer, motivational speaker, and sexual fitness guru, Montique Stephan. Welcome to the show.
So glad to be here, Queen.
Yeah.
Before we get too deep in today's subject matter, I want to check in with Montique and you, Nancy, to see what's going on in the news or research or whatever comes. Montique, please don't be bashful. We certainly want your input and thoughts, too. Okay?
All right.
Nancy, you got something for me?
Yes.
Let it roll.
So I come home yesterday, and I find out from, of all people, my grandmother, that there's some scandal in the news about Donald Trump and some tape.
How do you, you realize that story broke a week ago.
Yes, but you know, my head is in the clouds at least half the time. And so I'm like, Grandma, I'm hearing like all this noise about Trump and groping women. And what is going on? And she's like, so she uses the P word. And I'm like, oh, I mean, like, as if we have these conversations on a regular basis, and I'm standing in the kitchen, she's in the dining room, and I'm pretending not to be aghast. And I'm like, oh my God. So then, of course, I drop it. I'm like, okay, that's covered. And it's all in the air at the office this morning. Mm-hmm. People are still talking about it, even if it is from a week ago. But here was the thing I found interesting. So one woman says, so one guy covers himself, clears himself by saying, by no means am I suggesting that a man should be
One woman or guy where?
At work. At work. So this is at work. So I'm not suggesting that a guy should in any way disrespect a woman, but whatever happens between them is between them. So one woman quietly says, she looks at another woman and says, so if the guy comes up and he's a millionaire and he tries to feel you, would you let him? And the other woman's like, yeah. She's like, me too. And I thought, oh, that's, God.
Oh, man. That's
That was deep for me.
That's a powerful conversation.
That was deep for me.
So not only is Trump having an interesting conversation that is outside of the norm, but other people are too. Women are able to participate in that conversation in a way that's not generally talked about also.
Right, right.
What's scarier is there if their answer is yes to the question, would you vote for him?
Hmm. How about that? Now, at least one of them, I'm certain, doesn't plan to vote for him. And yet, I'm just like, but yet, on a deeper level, you don't really have a problem with the kind of man he is. I'm almost feeling like she's not voting for him because it's not popular to vote for him. Mm-hmm. But I just was blown.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Now, based on what you just said, Jeff, I wonder, the thing I appreciate about Trump is that he's turning politics on his head. He's really saying, you don't have to be politically correct. You can be you can be a jerk and get voted into office. You know, I mean, now he hasn't been voted in, but he certainly has won something.
Right.
You know, he has won the Republican nomination, which is a big
significant
deal. Yeah. So he's making it clear that you can be a jerk. And so what? And so when I hear it being questioned or the issue about whether you'd vote for him, I appreciate that there's a jerk out here being a jerk instead of a jerk not demonstrating
suffocating,
that he's a jerk.
Suffocating his impulses to get something.
Or suffocating showing, demonstrating
right,
that he's a jerk.
Right.
Depending on what your definition of jerk is. For instance, Bill Clinton, John F. Kennedy had jerk tendencies, okay? But they played the game. They were elected officials.
Right.
They were leaders. They were world leaders with what used to be called détente, which was, you know, being able to deal with the rest of the world. And yes, they did or could have done the same types of things that Trump is capable of, certainly since he said that he was capable of doing. Okay. In both of their cases, at least, some of those things that they did were after they were elected and were in office.
Right.
If we knew that they were capable of it before they were elected, perhaps they wouldn't have been elected. And that's where we are now with this jerk.
Oh my gosh.
He doesn't play the game. He has not been elected. He doesn't know how to speak. He sounded like Rain Man in the debate. He kept repeating himself because if you repeat yourself enough, like Rush Limbaugh, you think that people might actually start to believe you.
Or even understand you.
Okay. So, you know, the deeper issue, if you want to go into it, is I always thought to this point people were voting for Trump because they didn't want to vote for Hillary.
Right.
I don't think that.
I don't know.
I don't know that at all.
Right.
You know, and if you take enough of the racist, sexist, anti-Islamic folks in this country, that's a certain cross-section of his audience. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. But this country elected Jimmy Carter. This country elected George W. twice. Mm. And the rest of the world was rolling their eyes like, what is wrong with them? So, you know, I'm moving to Greenland.
Monique, is Donald Trump classic alpha male or is he something else? He's classic alpha male.
Mm-hmm. He's the alpha male. Yeah, he doesn't care what you think. And he is normally, he's used to dealing with followers versus friends.
Right.
Okay, so that's a big reason why... he is so honest because he could care less about, you know, being liked. It's about him being followed that he cares about.
And he also is able to, well, based on his history, he's never had to, just from coming up under his dad, he's always been on the leader side of things. And after seeing, I'm about to open a can of worms right here.
Okay.
After seeing Birth of a Nation yesterday.
Oh.
And I'm not going to go into depth, you know, that much depth in terms of the movie. But after seeing that and seeing how a absolute racist or shall we say a slave master or even a slave catcher looked at and dealt with people that they could get away with looking at and dealing with them in a subversive manner, you know, just as though they were just animals. I could see that in Trump.
Yeah.
I can see that that perspective and that way of just casting your will about and you do what you want to do and these people are not on my level so they get what I give them.
Right.
I can see that in him.
Yeah. Scary.
Anything else? Anybody else?
I would just say this is Monique. I would just say that the one thing to keep in mind about alpha males is that they change at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're not looking at other people's opinions of them to make decisions about themselves. They have introspective moments where something will just make sense, and that's what they're going to be about. And I kind of think that that's a thing that you have to a lot of people have to look at around Trump is that if he's not being impacted by the powers that be, that I believe kind of Hillary is impacted by, there is some opportunity to some degree. Because if he's not being impacted by the powers that be, if he in and of himself is making decisions based upon his own perspective, his own POV, there's a lot more option for him to change than if you are connected to a power structure that already has a clean and clear view of what the future is going to look like, and you yourself are a tool to make that happen. So I think that there's wins for on the Hillary side, and there's also wins on the ways you can look at it from a Trump POV. And I think that's why so many people are divided, is because it's like, are we going to look at Hillary being an extension of the Clinton, the Barack Obama type of regime, mm-hmm. or are we going to look at this guy Trump, and we don't know what the hell we're going to get? So it's like, is it the mystery box, or is it door number one?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And which is the best, or which is the worst? We don't know either.
We don't know.
You can't say.
Interesting. Nice. Hmm. Nice.
Okay. Thank you for that, Monique. Yeah. I appreciate you adding that piece about the alpha male, because I'm thinking, as oftentimes, even in, at the social level, you almost think that the alpha male is the one to go for ultimately. And when you say he changes at the drop of a dime, his point of reference or point of view is based entirely on what he wants and how he sees himself, not how he's viewed by others, and not what's necessarily good for the collective, then I think that, at least for me, it has me to think differently about just how attractive long-term a person like that would be.
Yeah, I'll add, I have a concept that I bounce around regularly in my head and in conversations, where I wonder if it's possible to truly do something that's good for yourself without it being good for the collective, and vice versa. Can you do something for the collective that's not good for yourself? And I, because everything, at some point, everything evens out. So if you're making a long-term decision, or if you're making a short-term decision, there are going to be consequences either way.
Sure.
And if you're making a collective decision or a individual decision, if your focus is collective or individual, there are going to be consequences either way.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to throw on that, Monique, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the interview?
I guess the only thing I think is important to throw onto it is trying to look at what these candidates see as being a success, and also trying to see who they're working for. Are they working for their immediate generations, or are they working for generations to come?
Hey, and I mean, many of us, in terms of the people that are going to vote them in, are not thinking about the generations to come.
Could be asking the same questions.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So when do we ever know what's right or what's best? And, whatever.
Onward.
Yeah. All right, Monique, we're going to get to the good stuff. But funny enough, I'm not going to ask you the first question. I'm going to ask Nancy the first question. So I've never been a woman.
Praise God.
Never had a vagina.
Okay.
Never felt what it's like to have my vagina stroked.
Okay.
When you think about what he said, Monique mm-hmm. said initially mm-hmm. about faster, I don't even know if you've ever said faster. Mm. So when you think about that, how does that rub you? Sorry, I think
you're
gonna
I just blew out the speaker.
The microphone's gone.
Let me see how I want to answer that. So when he was speaking about what essentially sounded to me like leveraging your weight and using your lingam to create pressure, I'm thinking, yeah, pressure is probably more what you're looking for than speed. And how that pressure actually feels is way more intense and satisfying than if it was just speed. Mm-hmm. Speed is essentially unsustainable for both partners. Mm-hmm. And Monique, I think, I know I listened to one of your videos, and I think what you were saying is that oftentimes too much speed then compromises lubrication. So you may be in a situation where oftentimes women are finding themselves using all these bizarre lubricants that wouldn't be necessary if the proper stroke was being applied.
Monique, anything on lubrication?
Totally true. Totally true. The biggest issue around why so many women find themselves, quote-unquote, drying during the sexual process is not their fault. It is the fault of us as men for not truly understanding how to use our phallus. The majority of the time that this happens is for two reasons. One, the queen just spoke on as far as us going, thinking that going faster inside of a woman is the is something that's going to assist her in building lubrication and having an orgasm, and it's the opposite. When you move fast, for the most part, you are penetrating and then you are retracting your phallus. And each time that you do this, your phallus exposes her lubricants to the air outside of her vagina, mm-hmm. where the lubrication actually dissipates. And then what makes it even worse is you go back in and you pull more out. mm-hmm. So over a sequence of 20 or so thrusts, this woman who might have had like this perfect environment inside of her for an orgasm to occur is then left barren because of the fact that, you basically retracted all of the lubrication from her body.
Does that mean you should not thrust in and out? You should not bring your penis out at any level, or that you should just basically stay in there and apply pressure? Or do you bring it out halfway, 75%, 25%? What you got there?
Well, there's something that we call sensual strategy. And for the most part, women are the most advanced technology that our world has ever seen. And for that reason, there's not one way to make love to a woman. It's going to be about you understanding the general process to trigger various types of pleasure within her. So if you want to trigger a clitoral orgasm, or if you want to trigger a multiple orgasm, if you want to trigger a G-spot orgasm, if you want to try to help her to ejaculate, to squirt, you're going to use different sequences. However, there's no set rule. Based upon a queen's interaction with you, based upon her body type, you're going to modify those sequences to fit her. This is the whole reason why we really champion the idea of men having an understanding of these sexual strategies and a host of various different strokes. The idea being that when you're making love to this woman and trying to aid her in helping herself accomplish one of these orgasms, you have the capacity to interchange these strokes into what you find one that's going to work with her. The whole idea that there's one set way to work with a woman is a real broken part of our process. And real quickly, brother, just to piggyback on what you said, you asked about the whole concept of extraction mm-hmm. when it comes to a thrust. And I would say that I am not a big fan of a lot of what we call pool stick strokes or pool cue strokes. Mm-hmm. These thrusting post motions that move all the way out of a woman and then push right back into her. Because first of all, the entry process that you engage a woman with when you push into a woman, women tense up during that, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's an invasive process. Mm-hmm. It's only after you have moved into her, and what I suggest is that you pause for a moment and give her body a chance to naturalize to you, all right? Mm-hmm. At that point in time, when you move, she is engaged. Her body has gripped around you. It has form fit around your penis, around your phallus. Mm-hmm. So when you move at that point in time, you are actually massaging her walls. And that is the thing that actually triggers pleasure within a woman. Massaging them in different sequences is what actually triggers different orgasms. Now, there are times when I would say it's a good idea to do full extraction, and that is when you are stimulating the clitoris, which is really within the first 1 to 3 inches of her vagina. If that's your target, then you are going to have to extract. However, in that situation, you are going to be spending the majority of your time with the vast part of your phallus outside of her body. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be still a thing where you're actually pumping in and out of her, dragging all of the liquid out. No. If you're going to be focused on the clitoris, you're going to be using the head and early part of your shaft to massage the first 1 to 3 inches of her vagina to trigger a clitoral orgasm. There is one time when you would actually do full thrusting in and out, and that is when you are going for an A-spot orgasm, which is basically, you know, a couple centimeters or so away from her cervix. And that is, that A-spot, it's not a spot that you want to stay with a lot of pressure on. It's very sensitive. When you activate, it's very sensitive. So you want to have almost like a time period, a time differentiation between each time you engage it. And the other time you actually want to do full extraction is when you want to relieve lubrication from her body. In some situations, women produce a lot of lubrication, and you're not able to build up proper traction against her vaginal walls. And in that scenario, you would use that long stroke to then extract liquid from her body until she gets to a point where you can feel that traction against her vaginal walls, and at that point in time, you continue with your internal stroking.
How do you make her squirt?
Same way, right? A lot of what you just said about this whole 1 to 3 inches, like the clitoris is outside mostly, and then the G-spot is inside. It's inside, but not very far inside. So if you take what he just said, you could accomplish both types of orgasm, I guess, depending on where you put your focus. But as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, but then the man can run into trouble because he's using the first maybe a couple of inches of his own lingam, which is where his own sensitivity is. So could he get himself in trouble trying to make a woman squirt with his lingam?
Well, that's the reason why training isn't so important.
Oh,
so, you know, the concept of you doing these different strategies has to be something that becomes intrinsic. And we really advocate the idea of helping to make it second nature through practice, through a fitness program that would actually help this information connect to your muscle memory. Now, when you train your strokes, you are in a position that's very similar to a plank position. Your body is perpendicular to the ground. Your face is perpendicular, is actually congruent to the ground also. And what's happening is this position causes the blood to rush to the pelvic region of your body, specifically because we add so many different functions into the breathing and also into the movement of that area. Men have very, very slim capillaries and ancillary capillaries within their pelvic area because it's not an area that we actually train. So it's weak, you know, it's very weak. So this is the main reason how come we have such an issue with the maintenance and control of our blood flow. This triggers issues such as premature ejaculation. It triggers issues such as not being able to stay as erect as you want. It's because this is an area of our body that we've neglected our whole lives. I mean, nobody can even call me and tell me one exercise that triggers or engages this part of your body. So it's like a child. You know, this part of our body is very, like, it's undeveloped. So when you do these exercises, your capillaries open, you're able to pass more blood through your pelvis, and you're able to do something that changes everything, and that is you're able to control your sensitivity. Now, anybody that wants to maybe fire back on me on this, I would just say there's no other part of your body that you use right now as much as your legs and your hands. So take your hand and squeeze it as hard as you can, like make the tightest fist ever, right?
Okay.
Now open your hand and press into the flesh. You feel how numb that becomes? It's numb because of the fact that you controlled the blood flow. You controlled the blood flow into your hand. So what you did is you numbed the sensitivity in your hand. And you can only do this because of experience and practice you have with making a grip. Now, what if I told you that your cock is no different? When you had experience in controlling the blood flow in that part of your body, you can actually change the amount of sensitivity that you allow yourself to feel. Mm. So being able to stroke a woman and use the head of your penis is not going to be an issue. You just turn that part off. And then when you're ready to feel more pleasure or you're ready to climax, you turn it back on and continue.
Or you don't take the plank position.
No, no, ma'am. Actually, the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter which you train in your plank position.
Yeah.
But you train in that position to open your capillaries. You are opening the blood vessels in your pelvis, in your pelvic region, in your psoas. So when you do this, it's no different than after you do this, you can use these muscles in any position the same way as you might train your chest doing something like a bench press, right? Mm-hmm. But you can still use your same chest muscles if you're doing a dip.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just with a different
motion. You recommend yoga for guys?
I recommend yoga, but not for sex. It's good for flexibility, and it's also one of the only practices outside of Pilates that I know about that you can focus on your psoas, which is the area in your pelvis that's responsible for motility and for motion.
Hmm. Okay.
So you mentioned a while ago, earlier in the interview, you mentioned deadlifts as being not the thing to do. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, I am against doing deadlifts, heavy deadlifts. Mm-hmm. If you're doing light deadlifts, it's fine, but heavy deadlifts, it actually is going to harden your psoas muscle. This is how come you see a lot of the bodybuilders, guys, that can't even turn laterally. You know, it's because of the fact that their pelvic muscles have become so hardened from doing deadlifts.
And you do advocate for planks. Am I hearing that correctly?
I definitely advocate for planks. I advocate for doing stroke skills exercises. But if you're talking about not doing yoga, if you're talking about not doing Pilates, then doing planks is one of the exercises that you can do to start opening up those arteries and opening up those vessels in your pelvic region. And that's really going to help you with keep maintaining an erection and also with being able to reanimate after you climax.
What are your thoughts on dildos?
Well, I have a women's program, and in our women's program, we don't really, advocate the use of dildos, but it's really because if a woman doesn't understand how a man strokes, if she doesn't understand how to utilize her vagina, her yoni, to use her grip or her tightness during sex with a man, then using a dildo is going to train her for in and out pool stick thrusts. This is a huge issue that I have with men that are taking their strokes home to their woman, and it takes them several months to get their woman deconnected. Well, deconnected isn't a word, but to disconnect their woman from wanting in and out pool stick strokes that dry her out. Why? Because that's how she engages that dildo, and it's created muscle memory in her.
Mm. And what about just the vibrating? Or vibrator?
The thing is, it's difficult for me, again, just as yourself, brother, to speak on what a woman should and should not do. For the most part, I've never been a woman, so I cannot say what's good or bad for a queen. All I can say is that I really feel as though it's important for a queen to recognize their sensual balances and limitations. Mm-hmm. Because if you recognize that, then you can use a toy to bring you to your peak, but not overlap it, because when you start overlapping it, it starts becoming impossible to find that same pleasure outside of using that toy.
What about yoni eggs?
I would rather not speak on it, because I have friends that sell and use yoni eggs, and I wouldn't want to create any issues with them.
Oh.
And what about yoni eggs?
He's looking at me now. What about him, Frank?
What you got? Teach us something.
Well,
share.
I'm just thinking. Wow. So I.
Well, you can take your pick, because I'm going to ask you about vibrators also. So
dildos, toy parties.
Where you want to go?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so first of all, I agree with Montico on some level about the toys. Dildos, vibrators. I feel that if, just like he says, if your body starts to get attuned to these artificial stimulants, then when you find yourself with a human being, then you're kind of, you're not acclimated to a natural response. You're not acclimated I'm wondering now, as I really think about it, if the toys can sometimes desensitize the woman, and like he says, program the muscle memory in such a way that it's got to be this particular way, where what I'm hearing from Montique is that a woman might arrive at orgasm from a variety of different levels of engagement if she maintains a natural, healthy vaginal environment. So I mentioned the yoni eggs simply because, at least in my understanding, you use them to break up, what do I want to call it, like congestion in the yoni, to develop finer sensitivities in the yoni. You're using it as a kind of an exercise element, you know, to it creates resistance so you can develop strength. It actually has the capacity to tone your inner organs if you take the practice seriously enough, which has all kinds of other benefits. So, but the toys where, you know, sometimes I'm just thinking, you put this thing on yourself, it's like vibrating 1,000 miles a minute. I'm like, well, how could that be pleasurable?
Really?
Yeah, it's like, what? Oh, man, the batteries, you know, so they have, what do you call them, controls where they go up or down, but it's still going too fast. And I'm like, no, you know, like bullets. And I'm just like, come on now. So, but that can sometimes speak to the fact that oftentimes the woman doesn't have adequate sensitivity herself. And I know that Montique has a program for women also, where we're able to develop ourselves and prepare ourselves to take some responsibility in the accomplishment of our orgasm.
Mm. Okay.
Montique?
Oh, I piggyback with everything you said, Queen. I have some choice things to say around the yoni egg, but I don't want to create any issues. A lot of people make their livelihood on selling yoni eggs, and a lot of friends of mine also are very, very invested in those ideas, and in the idea of using yoni eggs and also toys. So it's a sensitive situation, but my hope is at some point in time there can be a more in-depth conversation around, you know, where yoni eggs actually emerged and the reasons that yoni eggs would be used in our society today.
Well, I mean, the yoni egg is an ancient practice, correct?
I don't really want to speak.
You don't even want to talk about the history of the yoni egg?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Do you have any words, any counseling or anything that you do for gay partners?
I do not currently have any programs for gay partners. However, I have worked with specifically with lesbian women who were interested in using a strap-on and helping them to kind of intuit some various different stroke strategies. It's different, though, because, you know, they don't have the same amount, the same ability to feel through the member. Mm-hmm. But in general, a lot of the strategies can still work. They just have to be a lot more attuned to her kinetics.
Mm. Okay. This is Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and information that'll help create better parents and partners. You can find this and our archive shows, they're well over 100, at franklove.com, on Blog Talk, iTunes, and Stitcher. Is the conventional wisdom around dating a woman or arousing her, flowers, candies, that sort of thing, is that good stuff? Is that nonsense? Is it somewhere in the middle? Where do you fall around that?
You asking Montique?
Yes.
Asking me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I really kind of feel like, first and foremost, the most important thing when you are engaging somebody as far as a relationship or dating or relationship is to focus on where your commonalities are. I'm a fan of giving gifts. However, I'm a fan of giving gifts that kind of communicate something. It doesn't communicate, okay, I have money, I have a job, or, you know, I watch romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. But it communicates, I am reading you, and I can intuit that this is something that you'd be into because I listen to what you're saying, mm-hmm. and because I appreciate the communications that we have. I'm a big fan of looking into what a woman's personality type is, or a man's personality type is if you're a woman, mm-hmm. and figuring out where you guys mesh, where there are common interests. I'm a big fan of going to things like lectures together so that you can find out more about each other. Let me tell you something. You go to a lecture with somebody around a common interest, in that conversation that you have with that individual following that lecture, you're going to find out a lot about that person. Mm. You'll find out more about that person during that conversation than you might in months in doing conventional dating. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll find out about what they think about women, what they think about family. You'll find out what they think about, the economy, what they think about politics. You'll find out so much because people are more willing to open up and communicate when they know two things. That one, the person that they're talking to has common interest in that thing, and two, that they are in the company of someone who listens. So if you can communicate those two things to somebody, you can date several people, and you'll be able to find out which of these folks are ones that I want to make friends, which ones are ones that I think I want to do something further with, and then which ones I need to get the hell away from.
That is insightful.
Yeah.
Like, you nailed something special right there, Montique. That was really nice. What's your story? How'd you get to be the guru of sexual fitness?
Oh, man, like, you know, my story is it's like, you know, twists and turns. But, you know, for the most part, big bro, you know, the thing that really spoke to me was in my wishing at some point in time in my relationship that I had options. I just felt as though I was I wanted to be better in a way that I couldn't describe. And I wanted to impress my partner in a way that I couldn't frame. And I said, you know what, there has to be a better way for us as men to not just stay relevant in our partners' lives, but to have them recognize that we truly care. And this is, you know, just buying stuff for her being a person that just buys things and being a person that, you know, is nice, it has a certain limitation to it. But when you can be a person that can lead her body, that can collapse your own sensual interests and replace them with hers, when you can learn to do things and master things that specifically satisfy her, and when you can take that understanding of her and translate it outside of the bedroom and do things for her in her life that really helps her recognize that you're really in her corner, I feel as though that your relationships that I've had in the past that I've lost, I've been able to keep. And I said, you know what? I want to be able to offer this to people who might be looking for something, looking for an ability to be their best selves for somebody else. And maybe I can be that person and be that change that, you know, at some point in time in my life that I wanted to find for myself.
Do you think brothers who've taken your course should recommend your course to other brothers or keep the information to themselves? Or should there be a competitive thing? What are your thoughts there?
Well, brother, you know, to be honest, that's going to really kind of depend on that individual's personality. But I do say that I think that we as a sex, as a male sex, will get far more understanding and far more problem solving out of our relationships with women as a whole if we can change the way that we engage them on an intimate and, you know, one-on-one relationship level. If we can utilize these stroke skills to communicate with her better in the bedroom, mm-hmm. and we can utilize our understanding of who she is as a unique woman with a unique personality to speak with her in the world and speak with her outside of the bedroom. I think in both cases, they'll say, you know what, these guys aren't as bad as we thought. They can be communicated with so that we can come back to the table and have some of the conversations that we need to have to.
And what about conversations around multiple partners? What are your thoughts on a man being able to sustain multiple partners because of his stroke skills or whatever, or you know, because he can, or even can he? And a woman on the flip for women.
I believe a woman will be far more easy for a woman to sustain multiple partners with men than for several women to sustain multiple partners with a man, because for the most part, outside of the socioeconomic issues, which are showing more and more that women will be the dominant breadwinners within our society across race within the next 50 years, mm-hmm. Outside of that, it's very, very difficult to stay on top of keeping a woman having, you know, multiple orgasms on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. A woman's vagina changes every single day. It changes every day. I mean, weekly it changes a lot, but every day it's different. Mm-hmm. So what worked one night might not work the next night because her vaginal walls are either shrinking or inflating on a daily basis. So that means the amount of pressure that you're going to use through a stroke is going to be different. And that, a lot of times, is going to change the strokes that you are using, and it's going to change the sequence of strokes that you are using. So if you want to give a woman on week one an orgasm, you can't use that exact same stuff to give a woman on week three. Now imagine trying to balance that with three different women. Mm. All right?
That's real.
That is a talent. Now, I'm not trying to say that there are not men out here that do that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of brothers out here that have never had a stroke skill class in their life and never will, but are naturally talented and naturally gifted with their skill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can be from having former lives. It can be from, you know, them just having an intuition for that, you know, but it's very rare, mm-hmm. right? So I would say that having relationships with multiple women, I feel like it is possible if you have really good communication and you can explain to them, like, look, queen, I'm not going to be able to satisfy you, you know, as regularly because of the fact that, you know, we are in a situation where I am with other women as well. So perhaps they might work something out where, you know, one of the queens is the lotto winner for the month, and she's getting the majority of the orgasmic strokes, whereas the other queens are getting ones that, you know, might be rejuvenating, they might feel good, they might allow her to relax, but might not necessarily, they might not necessarily need him to actually be triggering multiple orgasms in all of them, because that would definitely be quite a feat.
Interesting.
So the one who needs to be poly are the women.
that's what I'm hearing.
Thank you, Montique Stephon.
does that work for you, Nancy?
Completely.
We're opening up a new door. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with trainer, motivational speaker, and sexual fitness guru, Montique Stephon. Montique, please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you.
Right now, I am currently loading lots of people into my two Facebook groups. The one for men is called Stroke Skills Elite. That's Stroke Skills Elite. The one for women is called the So Tight Fitness Community. I'm adding lots of people right now. I've opened the doors. These are usually closed, very private groups, but I've opened the doors and I'm letting people in right now so that you can come in, you can start seeing some of the success that men and women inside of these different groups are having, and so that you can start asking questions about how you can start adding these different jewels into your treasure chest. The idea being that if you can recognize what you do well as an individual, if you can understand what your unique contributions are, what your body is excellent at, you can start sharpening those abilities making them relevant in the bedroom, and it will completely change what you think about yourself and what your partner thinks about your capabilities as a man or a woman. So again, I'd love all of you to come to either the men's group at Stroke Skills Elite or the women's group at So Tight Fitness Community and ask questions.
As a male, what do you suggest males do so that they can hear their partners, their female partners, even if she's not good at verbally communicating, so that he can sexually satisfy her?
She needs to be able to understand her personality type. A big part of what we do at Stroke Skills is we start at an area that most people would never think, and that is not even on the physical. We start on the mental plane, mm-hmm. and we help to train men and women to intuit what other people's personality types are and then understand how to communicate to those unique personality types. Mm-hmm. Because if you can understand how to communicate verbally, then the physical aspect of communication becomes a lot easier. You have an understanding of how they want to be engaged in an intimate level. In that scenario, you know, off top, you have a really good idea how I should go about pleasing this person. And then from there, you basically use the scientific method and just tweak it. Mm-hmm.
You got a good book for me? Any good book you're reading, read, suggest, anything like that?
Yes, I actually just released a book for men and women that underlines the basic concepts around the stroke and its underlying purpose and terminologies. You can find it on Amazon. It's called Stroke, the Ultimate Blueprint to Penetration Orgasms. Wow. Stroke has a dot between each letter.
It's an acronym.
Dot, for example, and it stands for sexually tactile, rhythmically organized kinetic exercise.
One more time.
Right, sexually tactile, rhythmically organized, kinetic exercise, stroke. Okay. And the book is on Amazon. You can go there and search Stroke, the Ultimate Blueprint to Penetration Orgasms. This is going to give you the whole theory behind why stroking is something that we need to envelop. This needs to be the new Kama Sutra. It's going to change how men and women interact, and it's going to change the communication. Because instead of saying, I like it fast, or women saying, I need this type of penis, men saying, I need this type of, you know, a behind the woman has, you can actually dictate to your partner what it is that truly feels good for you. And they'll have an understanding, oh, okay, I know exactly how to do this for you. I know exactly how to please you. It's no, we don't have to toss it up in the air and say, well, give it to me doggy style, hard. You know,
so
or a guy
that
would be like, just ride it and look at me. No.
So then, size doesn't matter?
Yes, it does for a queen. I do. I believe this. And the reason why it does is because we don't, as men, don't have strokes. Now, when we get to the point where all men have stroke skills, or a majority of men have stroke skills, size will play a lot less of a role. Let me explain this. Size for women is a way of communicating what she wants to feel. Mm. It's not about the actual size. She's telling a man, I experience good pleasure in my vagina when I am with a man of this dimension. All right?
Okay.
She's describing a feeling. She's describing a feeling because in our society, we just don't have terminology to describe this type of thing. She can't say to us right now, she cannot say to us, well, I really enjoy stimulation on my left wall, but when it comes out, I really like when it moves upwards and then it scrapes against my G-spot. Now, that's a completely different thing from saying, I like a 7-inch penis or an 8-inch penis. It's completely different. Mm-hmm. One thing, another man can say, oh, I got that. I got a stroke for that, mm-hmm. right? The other one, a guy can't do nothing about it. All a guy can do is look at his palms and wish he was somebody else. Right? Okay?
Right.
That's all he could do. Right? So one way says, you know, I am trying to help you learn how you would go about appreciating a woman like me. The other one is, you have no time and no space and there is no, that you have no capacity to please me. And that's a falsehood, right? Mm-hmm. A man can basically generate any type of stimulation or sensation a woman wants to feel in his, in her vagina, if he has adequate instruction and has adequate training. If he's trained his body, if he has stroke skills and has adequate instruction, he can create any stimulation, any sensation that she wants inside of her body. But it does require her to have the means to communicate that.
That's powerful.
And that's what the book, that's what the book is all about. It's all about helping us to recognize that there are terms, communications, and relays that we can have between one another as men and women that are about problem solving and not about, you know, separating and this and making one party feel really bad about something that they cannot change.
Got it. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with trainer, motivational speaker, and sexual fitness guru, Montique Steffen. Montique, one more time, please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you.
Would love for all of you to pick up my book on Amazon. The name is Stroke, the Ultimate Blueprint to Penetration Orgasms. That's Stroke, the Ultimate Blueprint to Penetration Orgasms. Also, you can visit Facebook and type in So Tight Fitness Community for the women's group. And then you can type in Stroke Skills Elite for the men's group. In there, you're going to find thousands of people that have had experiences with stroke skills. They're sharing information. This is all about a melding pot, sharing different techniques, sharing different strategies. The foundation is stroke skills, but the true thing that brings us all together is that we really want to see each other be better. Mm-hmm. And I can talk for myself. I really want to learn what the heck y'all are doing so I can try that stuff too. I want to have brand new things that I can try in my relationship. I want to have brand new opportunities to satisfy my partner. And I want also to share ones that I'm using with the rest of you. And this way we can stay with the freshest, most innovative concepts in sensuality that ever existed. And we can make sure that our partners recognize how much we appreciate them. Mm.
Along today's journey, we've discussed lubrication, communication, and planks, and not deadlifts. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thank you to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my super-duper guest, Montique Steffen. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's Mr. Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.